It's Ruby. How are y'all doing? Welcome to Ruby Writer's Pegging Paradise podcast number 44 on April 15th, 2013. I am in the midst of moving from a place I have lived for 9 years to a new home. And my new place has high ceilings and views and a pool, and I'm really excited about it. But I have a lot going on right now, so I wanted to let you know, and I posted this on my blog as well, that if I am incommunicado for a short period of time, do not worry about me. I am still healthy and happy, and as a matter of fact, I'm still enjoying some extraordinary kisses lately. I know, this is like the kiss report, right? Well, it's true that kissing makes my world go round, I admit. A good kiss can, it can stay with me for days, can bring a smile to my lips and a dampness to my nether regions. Great kisses are the best. I mean, have you ever considered that kisses can potentially reveal a personality of a person? It seems that way to me. Like the man who kisses soft-lipped, but he must periodically and without fail close his mouth really regularly and withdraw his tongue, kind of like clockwork. That kind of man, I think, maybe has something to hide, something he'll never tell, a secret, like he can't quite let me all in. That's what it feels like to me. The man who kisses closed-mouthed with the little pecking motions, with the little lip pecking motions, yeah, that guy is like totally sexually repressed and can only do vanilla sex sort of quickly and furtively with the lights off and not talking about it. Yeah, been there, didn't try that. I was warned off by those really bad kisses. And then there's the man who must constantly kind of mash his lips into mine in a really bruising kiss. I think that guy needs to act macho to make up for his insecurities, personally. Or there's the guy who swirls his tongue around in huge circles in my mouth. I think he lacks finesse and creativity, personally. Because if he hasn't noticed that women pull away or at least hesitate like they're at a loss as to how to continue the kiss when suddenly his tongue is no longer part of the dance, but it's doing a little like stand-up routine all its own. Yeah, that means he lacks finesse and creativity. The men who meet your lips but hold back their tongue and kind of make you search for it inside their mouth, yeah, they're afraid of getting too close to you. They have a fear of intimacy. The men, however, who meet your lips and tongue with theirs so perfectly that it's like one pair of lips flows into the other, and tongues play back and forth, but always together, always in tune with your partner. Those are the best kisses, and perhaps the best men. They're sensual and sexually explorative and willing to be vulnerable and soft in their sex as well as hard and urgent. They're not hiding a bunch of stuff. They're honest. I could write a little book about this. But I'm curious to know if your own personal experiences have any comparison to mine. If any of this, you know, rings a bell, resonates with you. So write me and tell me. Because, you know, that last kiss I described, you know, the focus and intention behind a kiss like that. And that's a big part of what I love the most about it, is the focus and the intention is so it's palpable. It can make time slow and kind of cause senses to sharpen. And I love that moment. And I had some of those kisses the other night. So don't feel too sorry for me that I'm moving and busier than I want to be. I'm just saying. Life is good when I'm getting great kisses. All right, to the letters. Here's one. Hi, Ruby. I just discovered the show recently and wanted to share how I was able to find my wife, who is GGG. Years after a traumatizing experience where an ex-girlfriend of mine outed me to my military co-workers for wanting a girl to fuck me with a strap-on, which they all took as ironclad proof of my homosexuality, I regained my courage to date while openly revealing my strap-on desires. In fact, I decided that I didn't want to waste my time dating a vanilla princess who might flip out to such a desire. So I started frequenting BDSM scenes, learning in the process that I am most certainly a naturally submissive, hetero, flexible guy who enjoys gender play and role reversal. It was a great series of experiences that I feel lucky to have been through. After a while of hanging around BDSM people, it made me see how common it is for people to have hidden, kinky desires of one persuasion or another. I didn't find my perfect match in that scene, so I continued my search, striking on the perfect approach that led me to discover my wife. Here's what I did. Oh my gosh, listen up, guys. I placed an ad on Craigslist.org in the male for, or actually it would be man for woman section, it's M4W, explaining that I was looking for someone who is naturally dominant. Then I explained who I am on a very normal level. I'm educated, enjoy playing music, love making new friends and learning new skills, etc. Towards the end of the post, I just mentioned that I have some submissive tendencies. To put it another way, I filtered out anybody who isn't naturally dominant and might not accept my submissive kinks. I also offered just enough information to pique their curiosity, which if you know dominant women, you know that if you don't give them the whole story, they'll go looking for the other half of it. From the handful of responses I got, I struck up a series of wonderful emails with one beautiful woman. In the third email, I disclosed my essential kinks. Over the next year, we bought some strap-on gear and she bought me a drawer full of panties. We live an absolutely perfectly normal life from the outside looking in, and we are the perfect match in the bedroom. My life has improved drastically since our relationship began, and I hope I can look forward to many more years together. I love your show, Ruby, and I truly believe that it is important for others who desire this sort of sexual activity to know they are not alone. Thank you for your work. Thank you. Nice work with the Craigslist ad. That was very well written. Very clever. And although I can't see very many women putting an ad in Craigslist because, you know, they'd be overwhelmed, for the men who are looking, and so many of you are looking out there for a woman to peg you, it could be just the thing. Very nice. I'm going to share that method of success far and wide to try and offer any help I can to the guys who are still searching because it's brilliant. Nice filtering process. Excellent. I'm also very glad to hear you two sound so well matched and that you're able to bring your kink out with her completely. That's awesome. The part I wanted to talk about that I especially want to commend you about was working past your traumatic experience of being outed to your peers in the military. I mean, that was maybe before getting rid of the don't ask, don't tell bullshit. Probably was, because that was pretty recent. And it was at a time when maybe your coworkers could imagine no other possibility about a man who enjoyed anal penetration, but that he was gay. I mean, not that they could now, but at least the gay thing is no longer hidden. But that's abhorrent that she did that. I'm floored and pissed. Are you listening, you women out there? This is the kind of outing that men are afraid of, this betrayal of confidence and privacy. Such a huge lack of integrity to do that to someone. Jesus. And excuse me for saying so, but what a bitch. So this is the kind of thing that men have fears about when they're trying to decide whether to try out pegging or not. Think about that for a while. Now, you know, at some point in time, society will accept pegging as no kinkier than a woman receiving anal sex, and maybe men who don't know about prostate stimulation will be considered kind of behind the times, pun intended. But when that happens, all this is going to be a moot point, and I really look forward to that day, but we are pretty far from that right now. And if you can possibly put yourself in this man's position here, you might glean an inkling about how devastating this could be for a period of time. When you're talked about as the gay guy who likes getting fucked up the ass, or sadly, probably even more derogatory terms were used. So let me emphasize here once again, women, never out your guy, ever. I hope that woman got married to a totally vanilla husband and spent years bored to tears in bed, bitch. Ugh. I get rather protective of you guys if you hadn't noticed. I understand, as best I can, how dicey the proposition is to explore pegging with all the possible social repercussions, the unfamiliar territory of trading places sexually, and the biggest challenge of all, asking your partner for it and risking rejection. Know that I am behind you 100%. Another pun intended. And I completely support you in your quest. I'm here to offer any help I can. Know that and depend on it. And you bitches out there who out your guys, I swear to God, man, fear my wrath. I heartily and strongly encourage everyone listening. If you know a woman who has done this to her partner or ex-partner, whether it was about pegging or cross-dressing or submission or, you know, foot fetish or any of those things that men enjoy and are particularly looked down upon as weak or sissy or gay because of it, those women who out your guys because of that deserve to be either confronted or walked away from, whether you are their acquaintance or you're their friend or their partner. Because if they did that to him, what might they do to you? And why would you ever want to hang with anybody who can be that cruel and vicious? Just walk away and tell them if they ask, bitches. Because the men who have decided to explore the very things that can bring the most judgment down upon them, and let me pause here for a moment to emphasize that we are simply talking about a sexual act or desire or kink, a consensual one where everyone is having a good time. We are not talking about twisted shit like pedophilia or bestiality or necrophilia or rape or non-consensual abuse here. So the men who have decided to explore these consensual acts that harm no one and bring pleasure to many, despite the fact that society might come back on them for it, they are brave and courageous. They possess moxie, audacity, and sass, if you will, far exceeding the normal man. Because that's what it takes to explore a side of yourself that people would rather not see or hear about or even think about. People can be so rigid about their stupid gender roles. And that's changing with the new generation of young people who call themselves pansexual or bicurious or bisexual, or there's a lot of terms I'm not getting here, so I apologize for that, or heteroflexible, like the man who wrote this letter. I salute you guys. I've said it before and I'll loudly say it again. You seriously rock. Okay, so the lesson here is that it's never okay to make fun of someone for their sexual preferences, to tell other people about the things you did privately with your partner in a negative context. Because if we did that to each other, how then can we ever feel comfortable enough to trust and let go completely? Because that's what sexuality is all about. That's a huge part of pegging, of orgasms, of female ejaculation, of hands-free orgasms for men while they're getting pegged. And let's face it, for men, that's also a huge part of crossing that line and deciding to get pegged to begin with. Past that point, it's kind of like going down the rabbit hole. Wow, you guys inspire me. This whole subject inspires me. Can you tell? It gets me a little cranking here. Okay, so getting back to the letter, this last part. I love your show, Ruby, and I truly believe that it's important for others who desire this sort of sexual activity to know they are not alone. Thank you for saying that. Thank you very much. I totally agree. Here we are at what I like to consider, anyway, as the safe haven of pegging paradise, where people are not judged by their preferences for consensual sexual acts. You are all safe here. And you can send your partners here too. That has actually met with a fair amount of success lately, I must say. I mean, I remember in the last podcast, I read two stories of opposite genders of people saying, so I had my partner listen to your podcast and both of them had lovely results and I felt so good about that. People sending a partner to my website and they find it increases their openness to pegging. That's a totally cool thing for me. In fact, one of my goals is to have just the right thing for either gender to read that will sort of, you know, ease the fears, give them realistic information about their expectations and how those expectations might compare with reality, and just get them talking with their partner about the whole adventure of pegging. That's my goal. That's the thing I want my website to do. And I know that it's already doing a pretty good job on that, but I think there's always room for improvement. And I think the difficulty is that I know that a lot of people are coming from all different backgrounds. There are people who come to my website that are pretty darn conservative to begin with before they start entertaining the idea of doing pegging with their partner. And I don't want to blow them out of the water because I can do that. I can do that, definitely. And I don't want to. I want everybody to feel welcome. So, yeah, I'm working on that improvement part. And I'm actually writing something, too, that I think is going to really help. So, okay, moving right along here. So I'm going to make a couple of announcements for you guys about way cool things that are happening. The first is Deborah Sundahl is coming to Ventura. In fact, she's kind of all over California lately. She's going to be doing a couple of things, I believe, down in the LA area as well. Deborah is the author of the 2003 book Female Ejaculation and the G-Spot, and she's been in the sexuality field for like more than 20 years. Here's why I went and got her book. It's because the last boyfriend I had introduced me to my G-spot. He researched it on the internet and found out all about it and brought this knowledge to our bed. And he was stimulating my G-spot and it was feeling pretty good. And then all of a sudden I had this huge emotional reaction to it. And we worked through that. In fact, he reacted probably more perfectly than I ever could have pictured. But I wondered what the hell happened. And then, you know, it didn't dissuade him from exploring further, which was totally cool. Or me either, for that matter, because, you know, I'm kind of the opinion that if you've got a bunch of stuff inside that comes out as tears, better out than in, you know? So not too long after that, he actually made me ejaculate and he made me squirt. So that's when I went out and got Deborah's book. I heard her talking on a podcast with the Sex is Fun people, and she was doing an interview. So I had listened to that some time ago, and I went back in their archives, and I found that and found out the book and her name and went and purchased the book because I wanted to find out what was going on, and was very interested to find that it's really not as unusual as you would think for women who just find out about their G-spot, especially women my age, to have that emotional reaction. It was totally cool. And there was an amazing amount of information in that book that I just totally sucked up and learned so much. So Deborah is going to come and teach a class, and she's going to teach it at the Kama Sutra Closet, which is where I taught my last class there. And I'll have a link for you on my blog. This is happening on this Friday night, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock. So should you, male or female, be in the area, this is one not to miss. If you're anywhere close, make the trip and get what I would say is the best information about G-spot and female ejaculation that's out there today. It's totally worth it. The other announcement that I am going to make is about the body storytelling in LA. This happens at the El Cid restaurant on Sunset, April 24th. It's turned into a monthly thing. I have been to the first two, and I totally promised myself I wouldn't miss one because it is so much fun. This costs $12 in advance and $15 at the door, and this is more fun than you can imagine. This is like a late night of dirty stories, raucous laughter, and good times. So if you're in the area, come on down and join us. And you know, what they do is they have what they call curated stories, which means they have two or three people get up and tell stories who are people of some notoriety and are good at this storytelling thing. They have prepared stories. And then they do what they call the story slam, and they let members of the audience get up and tell 5-minute stories. And the only requirement is there's no notes, and they have to be true. And the The theme of this month is No Holds Barred. So that should be a very interesting evening. That is happening on April 24th at the El Cid restaurant, which is on Sunset in LA. And come on down, you know. You can't imagine how much fun that is. You really can't. I'll be there. So if you want to meet me, I'll be there. Come and say hi and get a hug. All right. This is not a very long podcast. I do apologize for that, but I'm going to get back to my packing boxes now. I'll have this posted up later tonight, because right now it's only about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But you can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook profile and a page that you can click that little like button. You can subscribe to my blog if you like. My podcast is available on iTunes as well as on my blog at peggingparadise.com. Please send all your questions and your stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you all very much for downloading and listening. Happy pegging.